Hey, thank you so much. Oh, great. Okay, I'll go. All right, awesome. Well, we're looking forward to the week. My name is Will Galkin. I'll be speaking to you in the evenings as well as in the morning time. And I'll be what you call your chapel speaker. And I'm looking forward to seeing what God will do in all of our hearts. And I'm thankful that I get this opportunity. And I think this is about my third time speaking here at Ironwood. And I do recognize some of the sponsors from previous times here, but I also recognize some of you from some of the churches that we've been in. And so for a number of years, we traveled, and we'd be in different churches preaching. We had a team that do music and so forth, and our family being churches all of the United States. And so I know we've served in some of your churches before, and we're just trusting that God would just work here this week. Now, in addition to traveling or speaking like in youth camps and so forth, I'm also now a pastor in Salt Lake City. We've been part of a church plant right downtown in Salt Lake, as well as helping get another church planted in the south section of Salt Lake as well. And that's what we're doing now. I have five children, and Anna Grace is 18, and they got a William, and then I got a Lily, and then a David, and an Ellie. And it's been just wonderful to be a dad. I love being a dad. In fact, I find that what happens is even in my speaking, that there's actually a little bit of, sometimes as I'm speaking, I kind of picture I'm speaking to my own kids. And so I hope that this week you'll sense kind of a real love for you and excitement about you living for God and doing something bigger in your life than just wasting it. And I hope that you're just really encouraged this week. How many of you so far, I mean, we're almost done with summer. How many of you only have three or four more weeks before you have to go back to school? How many only got three or four more weeks? All right. How many of you actually are kind of glad school's coming because you're kind of bored? Just raise your hand. I'm just curious. How many of you are pumped about the social aspect, but you're not pumped about the school aspect? I thought so. All right. How many of you, this has actually been one of the best summers of your life? I mean, it's been an awesome summer. I'm just curious. How many of you have had one of the best summers of your life? Seriously. Okay. How many of you have had like one of the worst summers of your life? Raise your hand. Okay. And how many of you are like, oh yeah, it's summer and it's almost over and I can't believe it. And I don't even know what kind I had before. Raise your hand. All right. That's cool. All right. And then, how many of you did get to go on vacation this year? I'm just curious. How many went on vacation? Okay, those of you that went on vacation, how many of you left your state? Raise your hand if you left your state. All right. Tell me some of your vacations. I just want to hear what cool vacations you did. Yes.
In April, we went on a road trip all the way up to Tennessee and then over back to California.
Okay, so where are you from?
California.
So you went all the way like to Tennessee and like in a big circle?
Kind of like.
More like an oval?
Yeah.
Or was it a trapezoid? What grade are you?
I'm an 8.
Okay, you don't know that stuff yet, all right? All right, what, I'm joking. What about you?
I got to go on a tour with my school to Washington, D.C.
Okay, is that, and that's the capital of what country?
America.
Good job, all right. Just checking, come on, you know, you never know, all right? Yes, who else? Yeah, dude, where'd you go? Aruba? Cool. All right. Did you get sunburnt?
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Yeah.
And last year in October.
Wait. Last year doesn't count. This summer.
Oh, it's summer. I thought you meant the school.
Oh, okay. What did you do? We'll let you.
I went to Virginia to see my brother.
Okay. Great. Virginia's cool. And so is your brother. All right.
France this summer.
She went to France. Did you eat some crepes in France? Did you go to the Eiffel Tower? All the way to the top? I knew that. That's why I asked you. All right. Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I went over to Greece, Italy, and the island of Crete.
Hey, take that. All right. So where else? Like, you went to three countries?
Three different places, but
Crete
is the country. It's an island
just off
the coast of Italy.
Oh, sorry. That's sweet. All right. And then, yeah, where did you go?
Ironwood.
You went to Ironwood? Yeah! That's awesome. What a great vacation, Ironwood. That's awesome. Oh, they want to talk about themselves. Look at this. Okay. All right. Who else? Yes.
I performed with my orchestra. Austria and Prague and Vienna, and then spent 6 days in Spain and Andorra.
You guys are all snobs, okay? So that's great. That's fun. Was that fun?
Yeah.
What did you do? Like, what instrument? Or did you even play anything?
Yeah, yeah, I played cello.
Okay. And that's an instrument?
Yes.
That's cool. All right. What'd you do? Okay. Yes?
I went to New York.
Okay, great. All right, where'd you go?
I went to Canada, and I went to Massachusetts.
Canada? Is that like the 51st state of the United States? Okay, bad joke. I'm sorry. Are there any Canadians? Any Canadians? Oh, that was a great joke. All right. Yes, right. Sorry? Okay. And then right here. This is a good vacation. Oh, thank you.
Oh.
Please. Oh, wow. This is a great camp. They kill each other. That's great. All right. So, okay, what else? Yes. Costa Rica? That's cool. All right. You're going to Hawaii. Okay, right. You know, yeah, that's future vacation grace. And that's good. All right. Yes, somebody else. Oh, right there. Dude, yes. Oh, sorry. We're going to go right here. Lake Huron first. And where else?
Fourth of July.
Oh, now that must be epic.
It was.
All right. And then what did you do back there? I can't hear you. That's good. What did you do in Japan? Okay, and then did you eat some good food? Oh, I like ramen. I like ramen, bro. Okay, what else? Like, did you get any sushi? That's fish. All right. Okay, that's cool. All right, man, you guys just want to keep telling me what you did. Okay, so I'm going to take like one more. You guys are phenomenal. Just the way you want to share all this. Yes. Okay, all right. Mexico, all right, great. Okay, guys, enough, all right? No more sharing your cool stories, all right? Hey, I'm going to be in the morning, just because we're kind of a little bit early, I'm going to bring some caffeinated products for you. And so I'll do like a little Bible quiz. So I'll ask a couple questions. I'll be first one standing, you know, real basic stuff. We'll see if you can answer. Then I'll throw you the caffeinated product, okay? So that'll be starting this morning. That'll be tomorrow morning. That'll be a little Bible quiz. That'll keep us a little awake and alive. So you might want to take notes. It's also good to take notes, but it's also fun to get caffeine. So whatever your motive, you can deal with that later. And we'll just enjoy just hanging out. Now, there's a few things. I've got this little lanyard thing, and it's like basically I get to go to the front of the line, and I can take a cabin with me, or I can take a person with me. So if you see me and there's a line, you might want to like tell me to help you, all right? And then I also have it's got like a thing on there that says I can like I can get you a drink. So just come talk to me, and I can help you achieve your dreams of getting to the first of the line, all right? So. Take your Bibles, turn to James chapter 4. I'm assuming all this loot has something to do with the theme this summer. That's kind of a unique decorations there. James 4, verse 13. You know, I'm going to assume that most of us in this room are not like full-blown atheists. I'm just going to assume that. I mean, really, to be an atheist, you got to be willing to like give away a lot. I mean, to be a true-born atheist, then you kind of have to say that life has no purpose. You know what I mean? That there's really no goal in life. That there's really no purpose in life. Or if your purpose is kind of self-centric, you know, it's like the survival of the fittest. I mean, if you're a true follower of naturalism and atheism, then you kind of be like it's just random chance. There's really no reason why we should even be an activist. I mean, to be a full-blown atheist, then you can't really care about the baby seals, you know what I mean? Because like they're just getting eaten by something bigger and better. I mean, why do you care about those seals? The reason why you care about anything is because in your heart it's hardwired that there's a God. So I don't think that most of us in this room are like full-blown atheists. But I do think that there's a number of us that would probably be a practical atheist. You know what a practical atheist is? A practical atheist is somebody who thinks and lives and decides without giving any thought about the Word of God or the will of God. So a practical atheist is somebody who just lives and thinks and decides without giving any thought about the Word of God or the will of God. And James, the writer of the first book of the New Testament, he addresses practical atheism. Now James was actually written to the 12 tribes. It was written to the Jewish Christians that were pushed out of Jerusalem. They're scattered abroad, the Mediterranean. They're under a lot of persecution. And how many of you have ever noticed? How many of you ever noticed that like when you've got pressure, like stuff, bad stuff comes out of you? You know what I mean? Like it's funny, we talk about vacations. How many of you had any days on vacation where like you were like just mad at somebody else traveling with you? You know what I mean? Because you got pressures and things that are different and you got expectations and things aren't working right. And whenever there's trials, the pressure pushes out what really is on the inside. And that's what James is doing. He's saying, so here you are under all these trials, under all this persecution, and what's in your heart is bubbling to the surface. I mean, that's what he did in James chapter 3. He said this, he goes, he said, now when you got bitter envy and strife in your heart, you're not as spiritual as you think you are. And then in James chapter 4, he says, so where does all these trials and where do all these persecutions and where do all these wars and where's all these angry outbursts? Where do they come from? And then he answers the question with a question. He says, well, don't they come even of the desires or the lusts that are at war within you? He says the trials and the pressures are just causing what's in you to come out. And in addition, another thing that comes out is this practical atheism. And so in James 4, verse 13, he says it this way. He says, go to now, ye that say. But by the way, this, what you're going to see, how this breaks down, verse 13, look at it. Go to now, ye that say. Look at this, verse 15, for what you ought to say. So whenever you see that kind of thing in Scripture, that kind of gives you some real insights on really what you should do with that text of Scripture. So he's showing us something. He's saying, so you better not say this, and you ought to say that. So verse 13, go to now, you that say. Today or tomorrow we'll go to such a city and continue there a year, buy, sell, get gain. Whereas we know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor appears a little time that vanishes away. For what you ought to say, if the Lord will live and do this or that. You see, a practical atheist speaks. That's the first point. I see some of you got a notebook or you got a little pen. So that's the first point. The practical atheist speaks. He says this, I will leave when I want to leave. I'm gonna leave when I want to leave, today or tomorrow. He just reasoned out the best time. You know, it's not wrong to choose the time of your departure. It's not wrong to choose when you want to arrive, but it's wrong to make all these decisions without God. There's some of us, we're so antsy about the future. I mean, we've got everything just all planned out. But you know what? The only thing more painful than waiting on God are the consequences of not waiting on God. And many of us were just rushing ahead. You see, the practical atheist, he's just like, yeah, you know what? Today or tomorrow, I'm going to, and he says, I'll leave when I want to leave, and I'll go where I want to go. We will go to such a city. We're going to live here. We're going to buy this house. I'm going to go to this college. I'm not going to go to that college. I'm going to get this master's degree, and then I'm going to get this doctor's degree, and then I'm going to have a home here, and then I'm going to have a home over there. I will go where I want to go. I don't know if you're starting to track here, but many of us in this room are practical atheists. And we're saying, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go to that city. I'm going to leave when I want to leave, and I'm going to go where I want to go. Can I tell you something? It's not wrong to go places. I went on a pretty massive trip. We just took a sabbatical trip. I'll tell you about my trip tomorrow. And we went to about 9 countries this last May. But you know what? It's not wrong to go places. It's not wrong to enjoy places. But it's wrong to go places without consulting God. So he says, I'll leave when I want to leave. I'll go where I want to go. I'll stay as long as I want to stay. And I'll continue there a year. That's what he said in the text. Today or tomorrow, we'll go to that city and continue there a year. You know what? It's fascinating to me. How many of us, we make our plans with no thought about about God. We're just kind of like, yep, that's what I'm going to do. That's where I should stay. I'm going to be there an entire year. It's not wrong to plan out a year, but it's wrong to put 52 weeks on the calendar without talking to God. And I'll be what I want to be. I'm going to buy and sell. I'm going to be a merchant. I'm going to be the one that buys low and sells high. I mean, he's just like, that's what I'm going to do. You know, it's not wrong to desire a profession. I mean, there's some of you, if I was to ask you, what do you want to be? And some of you be like, no, you know what I want to be? I want to be a doctor. You know what I want to be? I want to be an interior decorator. You know what I want to be? I just want to be a business owner. I just want to work kind of like a construction job or a mechanics job, right? I want to go in the military. I want to do this or I want to do that. You know what? I was like seventh grade. I was just set on going into the Naval Academy. I grew up in Idaho. And so it was actually a little bit easier, smaller states. It's a little bit easier to get into the different military academies. And so, I mean, that's just what I was going to do. I mean, that was my plan. It wasn't wrong for me to say that I wanted to go to Annapolis. That's the Naval Academy. But it's wrong to choose your occupation without God. Have you ever talked to God about your future? Have you ever just said, here it is, Lord. I'll do what you want me to do. Here's my life. I mean, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll be what you want me to be. God, it's not my life. It's really my life given over to you. And you know what else a practical atheist does? They said they're going to be successful. I mean, always. Isn't that fascinating how we're always like the hero of our story? You ever thought about this? I mean, he says, I'm going to buy, sell, and get gain. Like you don't ever dream. You don't ever dream. You know what I'm going to do one day? I'm going to make the NBA, and then I'm going to be in like the final game, and I'm going to miss the three-pointer. We don't dream like that. You know what I mean? We don't like, I can't wait one day till like, I'm like a hairstylist and then like the president of the United States or like some other powerful woman or some other person, they're going to come into my salon and I'm going to light their on fire. That's going to be awesome. We don't think like that. We're not like, oh, I can't wait to have a business and then go bankrupt. No, we're like the hero of our story. And by the way, to be the hero of our story, we can either be like the public hero or we can be the victim. You know what I mean? Like how many of you have ever had a daymare before? Like you were like in school, but you're dreaming about something and either something bad happened to you and everybody felt sorry for you. Or you had this story going on in your brain that like you're the hero. Who's ever done that before? I mean like math class, what class? Math class, history class, Science? Economics. Okay, so it's that class. And you're sitting there. I just get a question. How many of you have ever been dreaming about like terrorists breaking into your school? How many of you like had this whole thought process of how you're going to take them down? Like you've never had a day of taekwondo and somehow the first one comes in, you're like, and you roundhouse him, grab his MP5. You've never handled a Hector and Koch MP5 in your life, but you've seen one in a movie, and you lock and load, baby, and you know how to like flip that to full auto, and you just go, and he's goner. And another one crashes into the window. Why do bad guys always come in through the window? I don't know. But all of a sudden, you drop to a knee, and you put the laser sight on right on his forehead. He's gone. Another one comes in, you take him out. Oh, no, you're out of ammo. That's okay. You do a roll. You've never done any gymnastics in your life. You're not even a ninja. And you roll. You grab the gun. You cock it. You load it. And another one's coming in. You squeeze the trigger. They squeeze the trigger. And then it goes slow motion, right? That's what always happens when the bad guy shoots at you when it's going to hit you. It goes slow motion. And like you shoot, you hit him right in the forehead between the eyes because bad guys have this special little magnet that always gets shot right there. And then it's coming towards you slow motion. You're trying to dodge. It just hits you in the shoulder. Bam! You're slumping against the wall. But you got them all. I mean, you're kind of like the victim because you got hit. So now you get the best of both worlds. You got hit and you're the hero. And then she walks in. You're fading to black. She's like, and you're like, I know. And you go unconscious, and then class is over. And you're the hero. And you're the victim. Now, I got a question for you. I mean, just think with me for a second. What goes through your brain in a normal day? What goes through your brain in a normal course of a week or a month? Or some of us, we don't even think about this. We don't even think about, does God own me? I mean, or do we just wake up and my life is this? And I'm going to go here and I'm gonna go to that sport practice. And I'm going to play games over here and I'm going to play video games over here. I'm going to go to my friend's house. I'm going to text this person. I'm going to post this on social media. I'm just gonna do what I want to do. I'm going to go where I want to go. I'm going to be what I want to be, and I'm going to stay as long as I want to, and of course I'm going to be successful. You see, the rebuke is not coming for what they're doing. The rebuke is because they're leaving God out. Some of us have gone all summer and we haven't even thought about God. You know, the practical atheist forgets. So the practical atheist says the things I just told you, but the practical atheist forgets two things. The practical atheist forgets that life is full of surprises. He said, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. I mean, he's like, you're just kind of short-sighted. You've forgotten that life is full of surprises. I mean, it's not just as simple as you think. Life really isn't all about you. Life isn't a video game that you just reset or you find some cheat code to advance yourself. Or life is there's something more of substance, and it's full of real surprises. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. The car crash, the cancer, the parental breakup, the broken bones, the financial pressure, the job loss, the runaway brother or sister. I mean, it's just right around the corner. It's life is full of surprises. I mean, I was driving home from school. I was in college or something. It's late. I mean, I was just staying in the library super late. It's about 10 at night. I'm coming around the corner. It's just kind of foggy, and I'm driving around the corner, and it took me a while to register because there's a body. And I'm coming around the corner, and I'm like, and then I see a car that was in the house. I'm about the third person there. She'd gone too fast, flipped out of her car. And by the time I parked, get over, the cops came. One of them grabbed me and said, hey, pick up the car parts that are everywhere in the road and start chucking them off the road because cars are coming around the corner. They're going to hit one of those. We're going to have a problem. And I'm throwing stuff over there, and part of me is watching them pound on her chest doing CPR. I'm grabbing stuff. I pick up her purse or a little wallet thing, and it flips open, and there's a picture of her and her little baby. I don't think that she woke up saying, this is going to be my last kiss. This is my last hug. This is the last time. You know, I think that some of us, we just have a highly inflated opinion of ourselves. We almost think that there's a sense of deity to ourselves, that we've got God mode. Like we got this video game brain that somehow we've got this unlimited supply of energy bars or something that's going to get us through, and we're going to be the last one standing. Can I tell you something? Life is full of surprises. But the practical atheist forgets that life is short. I mean, he says, what is your life? It's a vapor. It appears for a little time and then vanishes away. I mean, it's like a fog. It's like a fog that rolls in off the ocean if you're living on the coast of California. And there it is. It's all morning, but eventually the sun burns it off. Or it's like the steam. I mean, like maybe you're cold and you pour a hot cup of tea and you see the vapor or the steam rise. He says it appears for just a little time and then vanishes away. What's so hard for you to believe right now is that life is short. Because right now it doesn't feel short, does it? It's like, oh man, I just can't wait. I just can't wait to get my license. I mean, it's just so long. I mean, but life, I mean, it just goes so fast. I mean, you're like, I just can't wait to get my license, and then I can't wait to drive, and then I can't wait to graduate from high school, and then I can't wait to go to college, and then I can't wait to get a job, and then I can't wait to get married, and then I can't wait to have kids, and then I can't wait to retire, and then I can't wait to die. It goes so fast. What's funny is I'm telling you that when I remember sitting there not believing that. And in fact, it's just so funny. Even when as a young couple, I mean, my wife and I, we have five kids, and we went on this vacation to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And it was really a fun vacation, but it was like all little kids. And we should have put them down for nap, but rather than napping, we're looking at some bears. There's like this, and in the UP, they have these wildlife preserves that are like, they call them zoos, but they're like scary. I mean, there's like bears everywhere. And we're showing our kids bears, and we're like having fun, you know, looking at bears. They're crying because they should be taking naps. And then we're going home, and then you're on vacation, so you got to buy ice cream, you know, and ice cream is, oh yeah, get your kids some sugar when they're tired. That's really smart, parents. And so here we are, you know, dumb parents buying our kids ice cream, and you know, you're happy. Here's yours, here's yours, here's yours. And then you know what happens. You know, it's like the 3-year-old or the 4-year-old licks and plops, you know, and the ice cream's everywhere, and the kid's like, and I'm just like, and this older lady is watching this whole thing, and she's just like, oh. She goes, it's just so precious. I'm like, she's like, it goes so fast. I'm like, do you want them right now? But you know, listen to me for a second. You know what, guys? I'm getting ready. I got 3 weeks. Or 4 weeks, I get 4 weeks before my daughter goes to college. And you know what? Let's look up here. Hey, look up here, dude. There you go. Good job. I'm going to cry like a baby. I already know it. I mean, this last 2 years, I just have loved get with my daughter. Man, we wrote out 100 things we wanted to talk about before she left for college. And we just pounded most of those out. And we just get together a couple times a week, and we're pounding that stuff out, and we're working our way through a Bible text of Scripture, and it goes really fast. And you know what? My kids are finally going to leave, and maybe I'll enjoy some grandkids. That'll be great. I can't wait. But guess what? No matter how long you think it is, you will die. It's quite foolish for us to live like a practical atheist when one day it's appointed a man to die and after that the judgment. It's really foolish for us just to live a full-blown video game life that we just press reset and reset and reset and think everything's okay. No, I just want you to know something. That's practical atheism. Just to live life without consulting God. To live life without talking to God. To live life without really thinking about what He thinks about your life. You see, we forget that practical atheism causes us to forget that life is full of surprises. That life is short. And therefore, the practical atheist must say. That's what brings us to that second half. So the practical atheist does say, but what they should say is verse 15, for what you ought to say. If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So you know what a practical atheist ought to do? They need to verbalize their submission. If the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. If that's what God's desire is for our life, we will go here and buy and sell, get gain. If that's God's desire, we'll go to this college. If it's God's desire, I'll date that person. If it's God's desire, I'll spend my life doing this. You see, that's what he says. Actually take the time to say as the Lord wills. In Latin, it's called Deo Volente. And the idea is you're constantly submitting and surrendering your life to God. You're saying, you can choose my occupation. You can tell me if I should participate in that sport or drama. You can tell me what my college should be. Here's my talents. Here's my brains. Here's my money. Here's my plans. Here's my relationships. Lord, I want you to know you're in charge. I'm not. Have you ever done that? Like, by the way, this isn't just like for campers, is it? How many staffers here have some serious things going on that you need to give to the Lord? And even as I'm preaching, you're like, ooh, this is for me too. Okay. Hey, how many sponsors? This is for me too. Okay, you ready for this one? How many speakers? I want you to think right now. What's some of the big decisions in your life right now? I just want you to think. What are they? Just think about them. You don't need to vocalize it out loud. How many of you have something coming up that you're kind of scared about? Like you got fears and you're worried about? Would you raise your hand? How many got something like that? Can you give that to the Lord? Can you right now, like say, Lord, here it is. How many can think of something and that you're like, whew, I hope God doesn't make me do. I hope God doesn't take away. I hope God, how many of you have something like that you're actually concerned that God would make you do or not let you do? Would you raise your hand? Can you take that? Say, God, here it is. How many of you believe that should be the posture of a Christian? You're like, no, a real Christian ought to be willing to give God anything. I mean, how many of you say, well, a real Christian ought to be willing to give God anything? Would you raise your hand? How many believe that? That's why he says, so if you rejoice in your boastings that I'm going to do this and that, and I'm going to buy, sell, get gain, go here. If you rejoice in your boastings, verse 16, all such rejoicing is evil. So how many of you say being a practical atheist is wrong? And you'd say it's like Christians ought to give everything to God. Look what he says in verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? Sin. You see, when I say, no, I'm not going to give you my girlfriend. No, I'm not going to give you my spouse. No, I'm not going to give you the potential of a child or not a child. No, I'm not going to give you where I go to college. I'm not going to give you what my occupation is. No, I'm not going to give you my friends. No, I'm not going to give you my entertainment. No, I'm not going to give that to you. Guess what? To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is to him it is what? So you know what we just did here? We just burrowed in to figure out if we're willing to submit ourselves to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Like, I want everyone to look at me real quick. We just burrowed in to see if we'd be willing to submit ourselves to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Like, there's no middle ground right now, is there? Him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Let's bow our heads together. Can you just be like super honest with me? I think you can sense, like you've only heard me once here, but I think you can sense that I genuinely respect you. I appreciate you. I love you. And I'm not going to be like weird in the sense of like manipulative. Like I'm not going to do tricks. I'm not a tricksy preacher. Like, I'm not going to try to trick you to do something, but I want to know where you're at. And I just want you to know straight up, I'm not even going to give an opportunity for us to publicly respond. I just want to know where we're at. With their heads bowed, I just want to say, Will, I can think of specific things in my life that God wants. And it's a struggle, but I'm willing at least to talk to him. I'm willing to give it to him. And I may be struggling in saying it, but I really do. I'm a real Christian who has things that I'm struggling wanting to give to God, but I'm willing to do that. If that's you, would you lift your hand and say, well, that's me. I'm a real Christian. I got some things I'm struggling to give him, but I really will. I really will. Put your hands down. Who'd say, well, I have some things in my life, and I just being honest, right? I'm not willing right now to give him. I just want you to know that's where I'm at. I'm not. That's just where I'm at. There's things in my life I'm just not willing to give him right now. It's just hard. This is just too hard. This was really good for me to hear, but I'm just not willing. If that's you, would you lift your hand? Just say, well, that's me. I got things in my life. I'm just not willing to give. I'm just not. I don't know why. I don't know what I should say or do, but really appreciate you being honest, by the way. I love it. Love it. You can put your hands down. Who'd say, Will, I do know Christ. Like, Jesus sits on the throne of my life. Like, there's been true regeneration in my heart. Like, new life. You know, this new life in Christ. I really do know Jesus, and Jesus knows me. I really am a Christian. If that's you, you'd say, well, I really am a Christian. I just know that I'm in Christ because Christ dwells in me, and I dwell in Christ. That's why I'm a Christian. If that's you, you'd lift your hand and say, well, I really know Christ. I really do. He has put new life in me. You can put your hands down. Who'd say, well, I don't know if I know Jesus. I don't know if my sin is forgiven. I don't know if I'd spend eternity with God. I don't know if I've ever truly been saved. I'd like you to pray for me. I don't even know where I'm at with it. I don't know anything about that, or I do know, but I just don't think I'm saved. I don't think I'm a Christian. I don't know if Christ is my Savior. If that's you, would you lift your hand? I want to pray for you. Just stick it up and leave it up for a minute. I'm going to actually count just so we can be praying for you. Just leave it up. I'm going to look around real slow. Okay. 1, 2. Just keep your hand up. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Keep your hand up for a second. 9, 10, 11, 12. Okay. I want to pray for you right now. I'm going to pray right now. Lord, I just pray, Lord.